From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the latest edition of the Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears, your host, here with Dominic Pachaco, my partner in crime. We are part of the Wildcast podcast team. Before we get started, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and also download the Wildcaster app, which is free and available on the App Store and Google Play. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star. It's free and easy. All you got to do is download the Wildcaster app. It's on the App Store and Google Play. Download it. It's not just for podcasts. It's for stories. It's for photo galleries. It's for videos. Everything that you could possibly want on your Arizona Wildcats is all at your fingertips with the Wildcaster app. Dominic, how's it going, my man?
Good. That was just an incredible advertisement for the Wildcaster app.
That's what comes with radio experience.
It's impressive.
After a year of doing it, it's like...
Not even reading any script. Do you think he's sitting here reading off his computer or reading a sheet that we have in front of you? He is just going.
He's not.
He's really not. I promise you. I'm looking directly at him. He's not reading up anything.
Dom, we have a lot to get into, my man. It's been way too long since we've been in studio. We have a lot.
A lot has happened.
So, we got Arizona spring football. They just wrapped up the spring practice period. With their spring game on Saturday at Arizona Stadium. I wanted to talk about what Kevin Sumlin had to say. One walk-on was delivered a scholarship, a well-deserved scholarship for this young man, and I can't wait to talk about it just because the position that he plays is very near and dear to my heart. One walk-on is now on scholarship for the Arizona Wildcats. We'll talk about the glimpses that we saw of Khalil Tate and some of the other starters on the offense and defensive side of the ball. But we're going to talk some U of A basketball. That's what Dom and I do when we get on a podcast, is we mainly talk about U of A hoops. Dom, the biggest news coming out of the Arizona basketball world is sophomore guard Brandon Randolph announced on Instagram, was it Friday? He is declaring
Friday night, yeah,
for the NBA draft. Dom, what are your thoughts on this? Did you expect this at all from Brandon Randolph to make this decision?
Yes, for one reason. And Sean Miller has gone on record saying he plans to add a couple more people. So we expected it. Maybe not, whether or not it was Randolph, we expected some players to be shifting around, transferring, entering, testing the draft waters, whatever it may be. But I expected it with Brandon Randolph because look at who Arizona has coming in next year. And you look at those players, you look at Nico Mannion, Josh Green, Najai, Terry Armstrong. I mean, they got a lot of guys coming in who fit Brandon Randolph's position, and he would need to fight for those minutes. And I'll tell you, he's probably not at the top of the pecking order right now.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Maybe a transfer would have been smarter. Maybe I don't know. I mean, I don't know the conversations he's had with Sean Miller. I don't know. Again, that's me guessing. He's not at the top of the pecking order. I think Josh Green and Nico Mannion are right above him. Probably Terry Armstrong after a little bit as well, but. Going to the NBA for him, again, he can decide to come back to Arizona before May 29th. He can hire an agent under new NCAA rules. He can hire an agent. If he comes back, they need to end their relationship entirely. But he can hire an agent, and he can decide to come back before May 29th. Or if he gets an invite to the Combine, there are about 69 players last year invited to the Combine. If he gets invited and then goes undrafted, he can then return after the draft, I believe 4 days after the draft, which is June 20th?
Yes.
The NBA draft?
Sometime in
June. He can return
after the finals.
4 days after the draft, so long as he participates in the Combine. That's yet to be seen. Trier and Raleigh Alkins did it last year when undrafted, and both found themselves on NBA teams this year. So, look, Brandon Randolph has options. Just because he left doesn't mean that he's gone for good. He could go to the NBA. He could not get drafted and then sign an Exhibit 10 contract like you saw Trier and Alkins do early this year. You can see him go play overseas and make some cash over there. Brandon Randolph is looking out for himself. He doesn't necessarily have a spot handed to him on the court next year at Arizona, and I think that's why it didn't really surprise me.
You know, Brandon Randolph was an interesting player, I mean, ever since the year started, because he was a player that Arizona relied on a lot. And if you were to tell me at maybe November that Brandon Randolph is going to declare for the NBA draft at the end of this year, mm-hmm. I would have told you, oh, without a doubt, because he's actually good enough to enter the NBA draft. And then I don't know what happened later on down the line, because he didn't battle injuries, right? I can't really go back and think of the time he was dinged up at all. His productivity just completely dropped off, mm-hmm. and he went from being a player that I thought was going to be maybe an early to mid second round pick to not even getting drafted at all.
Was there one time where he was projected as a second round pick? Am I imagining
yes,
that?
Yes, several mock drafts.
Maybe beginning of last season, he was projected to go second round.
And not even like pick 58.
Right,
you know, it's
right.
He was like projected as like in the 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, we hype this up all season where Brandon Randolph's production dropped off significantly, and it was his shooting. He's not a very multifaceted guy. So when you shut when defenders shut down his when he's not hitting shots, you know, he's not that effective on the court. And I don't see him again. I don't think he's an NBA player right now. I don't think he gets drafted. But again, there's other avenues to the NBA that he can take that we saw Alonzo Trier take and become very successful with this year. So there's more than one way for him to go make money next year, whether it's in the NBA or elsewhere. But him declaring for the draft doesn't mean he's NBA ready right now. And I think Arizona, you know, if you watched Arizona basketball last year, you're probably pretty taken back. You know, you're probably thinking that why is he going to the draft? But I think it's directly, I mean, it's in direct correlation with who's coming in next year.
And a part of me also thinks that maybe Brandon Randolph had his mind made up mm-hmm. before the season even started. Maybe he was set on, all right, I'm going to be a starter, or if I'm not going to be a starter, I'm going to get significant minutes. And Brandon Randolph was a consistent starter. Mm-hmm. And if he wasn't, he was coming off the bench. He was still playing a lot of minutes. Part of me thinks that maybe he just had this plan in mind that he was going to do his sophomore year, take care of business, do whatever, and then go straight into the NBA draft. Again, this is just complete irresponsible speculation here right. on my part.
Right. Well,
but that's how a lot of players operate nowadays.
You're not wrong. I mean, maybe he had an idea of, you know, if I play well enough, if I have, you know, a hot stretch to the season, which for him came early on, you know, if you're hoping to get hot and then ride that streak in the NBA, you want it to come later in the season. Obviously, he had a very good non-conference schedule. He was Arizona's leading scorer still. That's not saying much, but I mean, he's just not, I don't know. I mean, I can't see him being a guardian in the NBA right now because he doesn't score consistently. If he scored consistently, sure, that's his thing. He can lean on that, but he doesn't do it well enough. Again, offseason workouts, maybe he gets to a point where he can impress some scouts, but yeah, I mean, maybe he had his decision made up, or, you know, obviously he was thinking about it. I'm sure it entered his mind before the season ended. How can it not? But look, Justin, you and I have talked about this before. A little footnote to this conversation: Arizona fans need to stop shooing people out. You know, everyone who's saying good riddance to him. What is he? He's not NBA draft ready. Because Arizona fans did that to Emmanuel Aycott, and Arizona went 4-11 after Emmanuel Aycott left. So, look, even if Brandon Randolph comes back next year and there's a logjam at the guard position, wing position, wherever you want to fit him in, there's going to be a lot of players, and it's a good problem to have, you know? So don't just get this thought in your head, oh, they got Mannion, Green, and Armstrong and Najee coming in next year. Those players are all nice, but they're a lot nicer when you have a guy like Brandon Randolph backing them all up.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Dom. I also think that the talent that's coming in, and we'll get to those guys in just a little bit, but the guys that they have coming in are really good. Mm-hmm. They are talented. Mm-hmm. Like, they are the real deal. And along with those guys, Sean Miller has also claimed that, hey, we're not done. We're still looking to bring one, maybe two players in, and that could also be the grad transfer market. And if that's the grad transfer market or just any transfer market, a lot of those players are going to have more experience than Brandon Randolph, because Brandon Randolph, this was his first, like, actual year of getting mm-hmm. solid experience. He didn't really get much playing time in his freshman year when DeAndre Ayton was here.
Right.
And you look at some of the guys that Arizona's reportedly looking at. Max Hazard from UC Irvine.
Guard.
That's a guard.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and it sounds dumb for Sean Miller to say, why are you bringing in a bunch of guards when you already have a bunch of guards coming in and you have guards on your team right now? There, you can have no shortage of guards. And Sean Miller is making that very clear. And you need roster spots. You need scholarships available. Brandon Randolph is a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he does end up going to the NBA and having
Absolutely.
A successful pro career.
Why would you not?
Exactly.
Especially if you're an Arizona fan. Why would you not root for this kid to go? I mean, look, everyone at Arizona right now, everyone playing basketball at Arizona wants to make it to the NBA to some degree. And no, again, nobody's in Brandon Randolph's ear right now. He didn't sit down with Sean Miller, and Sean Miller didn't look at him and go, you're an NBA player right now. You should declare for the draft. Those conversations are had, but now Brandon Randolph, he's not ready for the NBA right now. Nobody's telling him, hey, scouts are high on you. Like, no, that's not happening. But when you look at the plethora of talent that's coming in next year, like you said, Justin, Brandon Randolph's a smart dude. You know, it's not easy to look at the roster and go, there's a lot of guys coming in. Sean Miller wants to add more, and I'm on this list somehow, you know, so why not go? And again, he can come back, you know, it's not a done deal. So if you're Brandon Randolph, why not go test the draft waters, even if you're not ready for the NBA? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You come back to Arizona?
Cool. You get free college.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, you play with the number one recruiting class in the country. I mean, there are worse fallback options to have. Brandon Randolph's going to be just fine wherever he goes. If it's the NBA, good for him. If it's at Arizona, he has his work cut out, but hey, he's got good company.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of good company, Arizona's going to have good company next year with Nico Mannion and Josh Green. And those are the two guys that are the highlights of Arizona's class. They are what makes Arizona's class one of the they're number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those two guys are it right there. And I know Zeke Nagy and Christian Coloco and Terry Armstrong, those guys help along the way. But
didn't even think of Christian Coloco.
Yeah,
got some Gettings. I mean, they got guys coming in all over the place.
But Nico Mannion and Josh Green, McDonald's All-American players, they participated and Nike Hoops Summit. Both of them play for Team World. For those that don't remember, Nico Mannion's got Italian ties. Dominic.
Italian.
I know you're Italian.
My countrymen.
Your people. Those are your people.
Is our people, Justin. Nico Mannion's Italian and redheaded.
And redheaded.
I love them.
These are our people. This is an official podcast of Nico Mannion. But Nico Mannion, looked great during Nike Hoop Summit. 28 points, and he was guarding Cole Anthony, the number one point guard in the country, on other sites. Mm. You know, there's still this debate on whether Nico Mannion or Cole Anthony are the top point guards, but both of them had a battle. Cole Anthony also had a good game as well.
And undecided Cole Anthony,
undecided,
for what it's worth.
Yes.
Favoring UNC from, you know, again, depending on where you look.
Yes.
But yeah, no, he was on, sorry to cut you off, continue.
No.
He was on Cole Anthony.
But 28 points from Nico Mannion in Nike Hoop Summit. And who's the NBA player that tweeted out?
Evan Turner.
I knew it was a Portland Trailblazer.
Right, right.
But Evan Turner tweeted out.
Former Pacer.
Nico. That's how you remember for the Pacers?
Ohio State?
I remember Ohio State, and I think he played for the Celtics.
Was he on that team that beat Arizona in the Sweet 16 in 2013?
No, he was just before that.
Season before? He was not with Aaron Kraft? I mean, might have been, but not on the Aaron Kraft team that beat Arizona.
When Aaron Kraft was an underclassman,
right,
I think.
Right, okay.
This is your official Evan Turner update. But Evan Turner tweeted out, Nico Mannion is a problem, and that The Gingers have finally found their leader. Nico Mannion is our ruler. Shout out to the Redheads. Look, but Nico Mannion is catching eyes of NBA players, notable NBA players.
Already NBA players. This guy's not even in college yet.
And I watched a little bit of the Nike Hoop Summit. Mm-hmm. I saw the second half, and Nico Mannion was good. If you're an Arizona fan, I mean, he is as advertised. He is the real deal. And I'm not sitting here saying that, well, you know, he's Mike Bibby. He's going to, you know, help Arizona to a national championship. He's capable of doing that. He's got help. But I think Arizona fans need to be really excited about this Nico Mannion guy.
And I don't know if I've got on record saying this on the podcast yet. And I'm only saying it now because my attitude has shifted a little bit. Justin, I've told you before that I'm not as high on Nico Mannion as a lot of people are, and maybe it's because of the expectations. Maybe it's because people expect him to be the next Mike Bibby or whoever you want him to be at Arizona.
Or maybe because you hate people red-haired.
En route to a national championship.
I see the way you look at me. You always give me the snake eye.
He's Italian. I have my excuses. I was never that high on him. The hype is real. It's getting to me a little bit. I think he's better than I originally gave him credit for. The dude can score. The dude can get to the rim. He's got handles. I mean, I'm having problems finding weaknesses in this guy's skill set. And granted, he's going up against high school talent right now, but it's some of the best high school talent in the country. So, you know, look, I want to see him get to Arizona before I truly evaluate him, but absolutely be excited for this kid. I mean, as advertised, he's going to be good. If Arizona is good next year, it's going to be because of him. And what he brings to the table. Again, he needs to be that point guard that Sean Miller's been missing ever since TJ McConnell. If he's that guy, Arizona's going to be in a good spot next year, regardless of what everyone else is doing, because that's, you know, Arizona hasn't really had that head, that leader, and Nico Mannion can be that with his game. And I think, I mean, just if he's, and that's the other thing we don't know about him, how he is as a leader vocally. I mean, on the court. You know, he led Pinnacle to a championship this year, so
back to back,
right? So, I mean, he has that persona about him with his teammates. Speaking of that, another player that Nico Mannion played with frequently, McDonald's All American game, West Coast Elite team before that, and now at Team World, Josh Green, he goes hand in hand with Nico Mannion. Dislocated his shoulder at the Nike Hoop Summit. It is not the same shoulder he's had problems with in the past. He separated his right shoulder, I think, a year prior. But this is his left shoulder, dislocated it. And not really something super to be concerned about because it's not the same one he's had problems with. So I don't think it's a recurring thing. I think it's just a freak accident that happened in the game. But it certainly, you know, as our Bruce Pascoe wrote earlier this week, puts a damper on the end of his high school career, I guess. But what you want to be excited for if you're an Arizona fan is these two playing together. And I think that's really important because Arizona hasn't had, and we've said this before, they haven't had that kind of camaraderie, that team spirit, the team feeling where everyone's playing together, everyone's playing for the same cause. They haven't had that the last couple of years with as much talent as Sean Miller's seen walk through the door. And again, I'll say it again. They played at West Coast Elite. They played at McDonald's All-American game and now the Nike Hoop Summit. And they were good friends in high school, both up in the Phoenix area. And they're around each other. They're friends. They're, you know, they texted consistently. Where'd Josh Green go to school? It wasn't in the Phoenix area, was it?
He did. He was actually DeAndre Ayton's teammate.
Oh, at Hillcrest.
For 1 year.
Okay.
And then went to IMG Academy in Florida.
That's right. Okay. So he, but.
But he was at Hillcrest and
in the Phoenix area. When he went to IMG, him and Nico Mannion stayed in touch regularly, texted. They're friends. They like each other. They have experience playing together, which is what you want to see in your point guard and shooting guard next year coming into Arizona. So I think that's the big storyline of Arizona recruiting right now. For as much talent as they're going to have walking through the door, it's not just that they have the names, the guys, the skills. they have two guys who are really comfortable playing together and have taken passes and have taken played on the same floor together in games against a lot of top level talent. And I think that's really important for this Arizona team and for Sean Miller.
I remember when Josh Green first committed to Arizona, and it was almost a surprise to see him commit to Arizona. It was a surprise, and it wasn't at the same time, because I was talking with some of our colleagues in the local area that cover recruiting to the fullest, especially Arizona basketball. Mm-hmm. And one of them told me that he would be surprised if Josh Green committed to Arizona because he's been so high on North Carolina. North Carolina is, quote unquote, his dream school.
Cole Anthony.
I was like, let's see. Josh Green is, he might commit to North Carolina because of all of the negativity around the program. You still have that dark cloud
Arizona,
with the federal
right.
trial. You don't know what's going to happen with Sean Miller. Mm-hmm. And if something happens to Sean Miller, then guess what? You don't get Nico Mannion anymore. So I thought that Josh Green was going to play it safe. He was going to commit to North Carolina because nothing's happening at North Carolina right now. And he surprised the world by committing to Arizona because of that relationship that you just mentioned, Dom.
Yep.
The relationship that he has with Nico Mannion and with Josh, or with Nico Mannion having such a good relationship with Sean Miller being the point guard. That is crucial because the point guard is an expansion of the head coach on the court. If you can have that relationship between Nico Mannion and Sean Miller and then have that relationship with Nico Mannion and Josh Green that could form a dynamic duo. And you said all the talent that has come through Arizona over the last few years, we didn't see a pair. We didn't see a duo really carry Arizona like we have seen in years past.
Since T.J. McConnell, really.
Remember
McConnell and Nick Johnson.
Remember DeAndre Ayton? Yeah, T.J. McConnell and Nick Johnson is a perfect mm-hmm. duo. And while Josh Green is probably going to be playing more small forward mm-hmm. than shooting guard, I mean, you still have that duo, and you also have Brandon Williams coming back. So, if I'm an Arizona fan, man, I'm kind of getting excited just for the starting five, but you still need bench play.
Mm-hmm.
How can the guys that are coming back develop? Can Dylan Smith finally take that next step that we haven't seen as a three-point shooter, as a rebounder? He got a lot better on the defensive side of the ball, and rebounding, but once again, another year of being a streaky three-point shooter. So with the talent that Arizona's returning, it's kind of a wait and see mode, but after that relationship that Dom, that you just mm-hmm. said between Josh Green and Nico Mannion, Arizona, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a splash into the top 15 next year.
And this is maybe, and they'll absolutely be ranked going into the season. I mean, if they go in with the players they have right now all intact, they'll absolutely be ranked. I'd be surprised if it's not higher than 15th, but this is probably a conversation for another day. Dylan, you mentioned Dylan Smith. Any wing players or guards that Arizona had, that you think are returning, those are the candidates to transfer or to go test the NBA waters. Those are going to be the players that you see some movement from this offseason, like Sean Miller expects, because they have so many people coming in that fit those positions. So Dylan Smith would be a good candidate to transfer or, follow Brandon Randolph into the draft. I'm not saying he's ready for that, but again, Arizona's got a lot of players coming in. They have a lot of players last year returning, and you need to find some space for him. Arizona doesn't have it right now, so something's got to give. The guys like Ira Lee, Chase Jeter, those guys are all fine because Arizona isn't as deep down low as they are, up top with guys like Mannion, Green, Armstrong, Najee, and it's going to be interesting. They got a lot of talent coming in. Again, it's a good problem to have for mm-hmm. Sean Miller, mm-hmm. and hitting on that relationship with the point guard again really quick, it's more important at Arizona than in other places, because that's when Sean Miller's at his best, is when he has a point guard that he really meshes well with, and I think Nico Mannion can be that guy. Mm-hmm. Justin, shifting gears, if we can.
NBA.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to go into football. I'm glad you brought up NBA. Okay. Luke Walton parted ways with Justin's Los Angeles Lakers.
My LA Lakers.
I won't call them Magic Johnson's LA Lakers anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah, so parted ways with Luke Walton. We all kind of saw that coming ever since LeBron signed there last year. But parted ways and just bombarding your Lakers right now.
You're so true.
I know.
Yeah, you're right.
Look, everyone saw it coming.
You're right.
And,
right. Absolutely right.
So the Kings out here fire their head coach.
Is it David Yorger or Jorger?
Yorger? It can't be Jorger, right? There are a couple clowns talking. We talk Arizona basketball. I don't know. It can't be Jorger, right?
I don't know.
Yorger?
I just see the name. I always.
So the Kings fire their head coach.
David.
Oh, is it David? A day before Luke Walton parted ways? So you got to think the Kings had something up their sleeve here. And, what do you know? A day later, a day after Luke Walton, was fired, mutually agreed to part ways with the Lakers. He is now, not official yet. I don't know if the Kings have announced anything yet, but, he is in talks to, agreeing to terms to be their next head coach in Sacramento.
I announced that, Rihanna and I mutually decided that we are not dating.
That's
how it works. I mean, say what you want. I mean, I'm happy for Luke. I am really happy for Luke Walton because I know he wanted to be kind of like the Sean McVay of the NBA, be that nice young hip head coach out there in LA.
A player's coach.
Yeah. And he was that for the young guys, for Kyle Kuzma, for Lonzo Ball, for Brandon Ingram, for all the young guys that are developing. But you also have LeBron James on the other side.
Right.
And do you think LeBron James has any sort of respect for Luke Walton? Because those two played together. They were in the same draft class. And anytime, I guarantee you, anytime Luke Walton switched on LeBron James, LeBron was like, come on, man. I'm gonna turn you into barbecue chicken.
That's my problem, though. Why is LeBron have that respect for a guy like Ty Lue, who's rumored to come in and coach the Lakers now? Who coached LeBron in Cleveland? Like, why does he have?
Got it stepped over by Allen Iverson.
Right. Like, why does he have that respect for him? I don't get it. Like I saw something earlier today. Someone tweeting from an ESPN story about how Lue had this kind of control over LeBron that you haven't seen anyone else have. Like, he stood up to him in huddles and told him to sit his ass down so he can run his team or run his play the way he wanted it to. It might not go through LeBron. Like, Ty Lue did that. He was that guy. And why Ty Lue? Why not Luke Walton? Like, why does Ty Lue deserve that respect over Luke Walton? I don't know. But look, Luke Walton, like you said, Justin, good for him. He's going to the Kings. He got out of LeBron.
He got out of the
LeBron mess in LA. Look, LeBron, LeBron is, if not the greatest basketball player of all time, he's 1B. So say what you want about him. He's great. But he only does so under his circumstances, and that's fine. Luke Walton didn't fit into that, so he's going to Sacramento now, where he finds a good young Kings team who just had one of their best seasons in years. For some reason, fire their head coach, which is why I think they were going after Luke Walton. So kind of saw that coming. But again, he's got a lot of young guys who are big college names. Buddy Hield, Justin, you were listing them off earlier today. Give them to me.
Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Willie Cauley-Stein, Harry Giles. Did I ever say De'Aaron Fox? Yeah, so I already said him. And your boy Harrison Barnes from the Golden State Warriors.
Harrison Barnes, who he coached with the Warriors in 2016.
So, I mean, he's familiar.
We're missing one.
Why am I blanking on Skal Labissiere? And for young talent?
Yeah. Who was their draft pick last year?
Oh, Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, Marvin Bagley. Geez. Hello. Jeez. That's the one I was trying to think of. Yeah, I had a brain fart. Okay, so and look, he's got a ton of talent. This Kings team finished ninth in the Western Conference this year.
Yeah.
A few games out of the playoffs. So look, Luke Walton is what he wants to be is a player's coach, like you said. Maybe not the Steve McVay of the NBA. I think that's hard to do. And I don't know if you can do that with this young Kings team right now, but they got a lot of talent. Nobody said that Sean McVay. I know a Steve McVay back home. What are the odds really? Isn't this? Yeah. So Sean McVay, no one thought he'd do it with the Rams. I don't think anyone is too high super high on this Kings team. Look, I loved watching the Kings this year. I think they're a fun team. They play the Warriors really tough every game. Take them down to the wire. I mean, they make the Warriors work, and
they were competing for an eighth spot,
right? They're the ninth seed in the ninth place in the West. I remember one specific game earlier this year when KD. I'm trying to think of who it was. I want to say it was KD after the game against the Warriors Kings game was saying that, you know, they were worn down. They were tired. It might have been Steph. It was one of the big Warrior names and saying they were worn down. They were, you know, it was a tough battle. So the Kings are tough. And I like Luke Walton there.
Let's shift gears.
Now shifting gears.
Onto the gridiron. Yeah. Football.
Do it.
Arizona Wildcats football team wrapped up the spring practice period with a spring football game. 147 plays were ran during the spring game on Saturday. 99 just in the first half. Khalil Tate showed fans that, hey, I know you want to see my legs, but hey, let me show you my arm. Found Devon Cooper for I forgot how many yards it was, but it was a bomb. Devon Cooper scored, and that was all for Khalil Tate. We didn't see much of Khalil Tate.
What else do you need?
And I mean, it was what I expected it. Khalil Tate did the opening drive, and then it was this constant change between the younger quarterbacks. Grant Gunnell, I thought, looked good. He's big. He kind of commanded the offense, moving the ball down the field. But he didn't really stand out to me compared to some of the other ones. Kevin Doyle had a buzzer beater touchdown throw to Trey Adams at the end of the first half. Jamari Joyner looked more polished in his passing game. You could tell that he's been working with Noel Mazzoni. And Arizona's quarterback group is a very interesting group of guys. But nothing really stood out to me about those guys. Now, for the wide receiver spot, Devon Cooper is a name that Arizona fans are going to get to know this year. The Sabino High School product, the Tucsonan, Drew Dixon, looked very well. Mm-hmm. I don't have official stats. I would wish I could tell you that this player, you know, caught three passes for 85 yards, but it's a spring game.
Well, yeah, it's a spring game. It's pretty much just, you know, reactions, initial reactions. And I think those are the two big things this year. Everyone wants to know, Khalil Tate, the presumptive starting quarterback. Everyone wants to know how he looks, his improvements. Is he going to be the Khalil Tate we saw 2 years ago where he runs a lot? Can he improve on the passer that we saw play pretty well last year? And who's he going to be throwing to? There's no more Sean Poindexter, who really came into his own last year and became Khalil Tate's favorite red zone target and really target all over the place. I mean, Sean Poindexter was the guy for Arizona last year. Who's he throwing to this year? I mean, I think that's up in the air still, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's Devon Cooper. I mean, what else?
Booby Curry.
Right. Booby Curry, who, Texas, right?
Yep. Greg Gunnell's teammate.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is who's backing up Khalil Tate, because with the plethora of quarterbacks, I think one of them needs to be established as Khalil Tate's backup, especially with his injury past. So is it Grant Gunnell, who they brought in to kind of be the quarterback? It's yet to be seen, but yeah, go ahead.
I'll say
Rhett Rodriguez. Yeah, I mean, again, maybe that's a difficult thing too, is some sooner or later, and this is no knock on Rhett Rod, but he's got to get phased out a little bit with all the talent they got coming in. Between Grant Gunnell and Jamari Joyner, who played a little bit behind Khalil Tate last year, Rhett Rod's got to start phasing him out just because you want to see what you have behind Khalil Tate. But I think Khalil Tate, I mean, he didn't run much, just that one bomb of a touchdown.
Yeah, he didn't show off his legs at all,
which is fine. It's fine. He can run. We all know he can run. If he needs to run, he'll run. That's not going anywhere. It's not going to disappear. What you want to see Khalil Tate improve upon most is his pocket presence. How smart can he be in the pocket, controlling the team, reading defenses, and making those tough decisions that a quarterback needs to make to be successful at the college level, especially in the Pac-12? I think Khalil Tate was underrated as a passer last year. He had a couple 500-yard games, and he came into his...
Why'd you say that?
Right, and he was a better passer than he was a year ago. He got better in the pocket. Couldn't run a lot because of some injuries that he was battling all year, but look, he can run. It's not a problem. If he's healthy, Khalil Tate can run. But I want to see him, how he's improved in the pocket.
Real quick, big shout out to Arizona center. I should say former walk-on center, Josh McCauley.
Right.
McCauley was awarded a scholarship earlier, before the weekend. And I thought that was a cool move by Arizona. Long overdue. Josh McCauley played every single game for Arizona last year. When you're a walk-on center and you're playing every single game for the Wildcats, starting, and not just starting, but actually performing well. Kevin Sumlin said at the end of the 2019 season, or 2018 season, after they lost to ASU and they had that 19-point meltdown at the end and they lost, their season was over with. Kevin Sumlin said the three constants for this year were J.J. Taylor, Colin Schooler, and Josh McCauley. That man deserves a scholarship. And all spring, we kept asking, hey, we asked Kevin Sumlin, so do you plan on maybe, you know, giving Josh McCauley a scholarship? And he was like, yeah, we'll see. You know, he kind of like held it off.
But we'll see.
Josh McCauley, we asked Josh McCauley, hey, what about a scholarship? And he said, you know, they haven't really said anything about it. I'm just kind of, you know, doing my job. I'm like, dude, you're paying to go here.
Yeah.
And you're the starting center on the team. Like, yeah. That doesn't bother you at all. I mean, if I was in his position, it'd bother me. But, but man, it's so cool to see guys put in the work and go from paying absurd amounts of money to go to school. And for a center, you're on the offensive line, you're getting banged up every single play. His work finally was paid off, and a well-deserved scholarship for Josh McCauley.
Right, and he's worked his way there. So, I mean, again, it's not like it's unearned. I mean, he earned it the hard way, and absolutely good for Josh McCauley.
Spring football. Football in April is good. It is really good. But the Arizona Wildcats, they wrapped up their spring football practice period. They'll be back for preseason training camp. Michael Lev is really good at writing about Arizona football. So go check out his work on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster app.
Full circle here. Before we start with the Wildcaster app, we're being right back. You right want to read it. Everything that we just gave you to put into your ears? You want it in your eyeballs? Go download this app.
I don't think I can do it anymore. I don't think I can do it again. So I'll just end
No. That was Lev. No, that was good. You brought it back. You want to read Lev? Wildcaster app. Boom.
Download the app. Thank you for listening to the podcast. For Dom, I'm Justin. Make sure you download that app. It's free on the App Store and Google Play. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We out of here. Peace out.
No script.
Hi, Wildcaster fans. Come check out The Point Being, the Arizona Daily Star's opinion page podcast. We talk about current events, what's going on in the world, the letters page, and more. So check us out at thepointbeingpodcast.com.